You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ephraim, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is a tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Somebody say amen to that. Now, I want you to declare this over this land. Take a sword, spirit now. This is the sword of the spirit. You are fighting with it over this nation. Now, no matter where you are listening from, use that over your nation. Everybody here is in Nigeria, so we are weaving that sword. We are using that sword over this land, Nigeria. If you are watching us from Kenya, use it over Kenya. You are watching us from North America, use it. From South America, use it. Whichever part of the world you are watching from, or you are joining us from, use this over your land. I want you to, look, dress up everybody in your mind as a soldier. You are going to war. Amen? Are you ready? Now you know, this is war. You are the one saying now. You are not saying, thus you shall say to them. You are now saying to them. Alright? So you are saying, just declare from the gods, okay? Now, want to let's go? The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Again? The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Now remember, we are releasing this as a sword of the Spirit. And it is going out in the hands of the angels to strike down things and people in this land. Did you hear what I said? This word is going forth as a sword of God. We are giving the angels weapons. We are releasing into the realm of the Spirit. And it's going to strike down people. It's going to strike down structures. It's going to strike down religions. It's going to strike against denominations. Doesn't sound nice. It's going to strike, human arrangements, agreements that people made, plans that people structured in place, things they have put together. Now, please, just by the way, don't think of anybody because you'll be thinking wrongly. Do you get my point? As I'm talking like this, people in PDP are firing their sword against APC. I'm not talking to you. You know, if you're not careful, that sword, now your party is equal. As you are firing it, because it is you people. The other day they said that Atiku is now officially a member of ADC. Now, okay, Atiku, God bless you. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, if you join us for prayer and you are using this one against APC, it's a sin. No? If you are in APC, you came here for prayer today. Don't use this against ADC. Are you getting my point? Just release into the realm of the spirit. You don't know what exactly God is fighting. But fighting, he will. Winning, he must. That, thank you. Somebody say he has. Winning, he has. We are executing his judgment. Don't mention people's name because you think a particular man, prominent person, is responsible for this. It's what you think. You don't know what God is doing with the person. I just felt to sound that word of caution against people because a lot of people now, their mother-in-law, as I listen to this one now, please, this is not, you know what I'm saying? This is not the other church where your enemy, you carry arrow. No. We're executing the judgment of God against evil arrangement, gods that people worship. Some people, as a result of this, they will lose money. It's the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth. Some of you had made plans for this week. It will go down. And it's a good plan. In fact, your pastor had blessed it. You don't realize the blessing of the pastor is what is activating this word. Because he did not know. He thought you were doing well. Don't forget, Nathan blessed the plan of David for building the temple. And as he left, God said, who sent you, Nathan? You think I can open your mouth? Go and tell David he's not building anything. Even though initially, Nathan said it is good. I hope you're getting my point. So please, I just feel like saying this. We're going to do this 3 more times. This time around, clear your mind. You're not talking about anybody. You don't know. Any individual. I'm specifically cautioning us against individuals and things you don't like. One pastor in Nigeria at that time, he hated APC. Eh? When they shout, he hated. Except that the people are still in power. Like, 7 years after all his venom. And I say, God didn't... Don't start changing scripture because you don't like something. Do you understand my point? Just so, and like I warn those of you in APC, don't use it against ADC because they are coalescing against you. You know, they are forming a coalition to remove you from power. If God says you will go, you will go. I'm not saying God says so, I'm just saying that don't think. But let us cleanse our air. Some of the greatest things God is fighting, you don't even know. The real witchcraft that holds people in bondage, you're not aware. You're not aware. But whatever it is, every machination of the devil is going down. Yeah. Especially now, in my mind, I'm focused on Nigeria and churches. The churches. Now, 3 more times we're going to do it. 1, 2, let's go. The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. One more time. The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth we perish from the earth and under the heavens. The last time.
The gods that did not make the heavens and the earth.
We perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Listen to this. Say it is he. Who is that he? Christ Jesus. By him all things were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. You know that. He said it is he who made the earth by his power. Who established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. Listen. His kingdom will be established in this land in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
His kingdom will be established in every church in this nation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anyone who will not cooperate with him, the Bible says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. And what? You perish out of the way. Now, good news for the Lord, bad news for you. If you will not cooperate with him, you will perish out of the way. I'm happy nobody said amen because fear don't catch people. But this is the word of the Lord. Those who will not cooperate with him, who will not subject themselves to him, especially if you gather people in the name of the Lord, you are going out of the way. That's what the Spirit is saying. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for this beautiful morning. A morning in which we have gathered to hear your word. Your name be exalted in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because you have given us understanding, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. Those of you at the door, please quickly come in, settle down. Have you ever heard the devil is a liar? Have you ever said it? What do you mean when you say it? Now, I'll answer that for you because we're not doing a long discussion this morning. When we say such things, what do we mean? Let me just tell you all the time. Sorry, let me say this again. Anytime you say that, make sure your focus is on his temptations. Are you getting my point? When Satan is telling you to disobey the Lord, say the devil is a liar. Not when you need money and you don't have money. That's not when you say the devil is a liar. Because many of us, that's when we say the devil is a liar. Do you get what I'm saying? It is when it's when you see temptations to disagree with God. Sometimes that not having money, you can say it because it may be that yesterday you declared a scripture. It supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. And then this morning, there's no money. You can say the devil is a liar. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. But I want you to understand that the lie of the devil is directed at making you disobey and making you believe a lie. Do you understand? How do you resist the devil? It's by holding on to the word of God all the time. You know, I said this before. Let me just say it again. We're doing this in school of prayer. I feel like just saying that to us this morning before we go into the teaching for today. Please, let's remind ourselves again. Open your Bible. No, I'm not asking you to do that now. But just open your Bible one day and just read the first chapter and count the noun that's most frequent. And then, or look at the person that's spoken about the most, the person, place, or thing that's spoken about the most. All right? Count it. Using either his name, a pronoun, whatever. Just check it. You will find that there is none that comes close to the person of our God. He's the one that's spoken about the most in the scriptures. We did a count here the other day. Let me not take time out to do it. When you go to, in the beginning, God, you understand, the Spirit of God, that's in verse 2, you go to verse 3, God said, and then verse 4, he saw, and he separated. And then God called, that's verse 5, and he called night. All right, I'm in verse 5 still. And verse 6, God said, and God made. Okay, you keep counting like that. And then you get to verse 8, and God called. And then verse 9, God said, you just keep saying, now 11 times I've counted, I was using my fingers as I was talking. All right, you find 11 times thereabout, you are still in verse 9. You get, that is, you go through it like that. Before you finish that first chapter, you will have counted the name of God more than 30 times. But you know many Christians, the person they talk about the most is the devil, followed by Tinubu. And then Nigeria. Then God is a distant fifth or sixth. Then their mother-in-law, four mother-in-laws. They are the one that suffered this accusation the most. And most mother-in-laws are not more wicked than your wife. They are just more afflicted. No, more afflicted. Oh, you don't understand? Okay. They are the ones people harass. You know, they deny them their rights. They have undue expectations of them. And in all fairness, let's just be fair. They also have some expectation from their children. And then when you seem to be opposing that, they may look not so nice to you. And you start dreaming of them pursuing your dream. They are not really pursuing your dream. They are sleeping at home. It's your fear that's pursuing your dream. Last time you saw her, she wasn't happy to see you. Yes, why would she be happy to see you? Do you look like somebody I should be happy to see? Anytime you come to see me, it's trouble. You don't come out of my house with gifts. You come every time with trouble. Next time you call, do you think I will have your time? You come to my house and say, anyone will go there. She's never happy to see us. Even me, I'm not happy to see you. Stop pretending. But you know, because I'm a professional pastor, I must smile. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Bless you. That's what your pastor is doing. He doesn't like you to. But he's trained to fix a smile on his face because you're a wicked soul. That's what I'm getting to. Your wickedness is why nobody wants to see you, including your mother-in-law. Now come and wake up in the morning and say, she's not witchier than average. You know what average witching? You know what? Okay, all of you are looking like I'm not talking to you. Am I the only one here? Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Average witching is manipulation. Humans are manipulative. She's not more manipulative than average. Do you get what I'm saying? I know I'm talking to some people this morning. So stop looking for how... you know, what's today's date? Of good. Which means in another 30 days of September, every June. Okay, November has 31 days, Abby. Okay, I didn't finish the song. Okay. That was what created the problem. So tomorrow is the last day of November. What does that mean? The following day is what? Christmas. Thank you. The following day, Christmas commences. It's time to give gifts. Brethren, time to stop all witchcraft in the family. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. I'm about to lead the prayer now. Father, you are going to give us the power to dismantle witchcraft. We ask of you, give us money. Give us a good heart to go and scatter the covens. Your turn, Nico.
Yes, sir.
Good. We are going to the villages this time around with gifts, with goodwill. We are going to slaughter. I know people like to kill goats. Goat doesn't have meat. I don't understand. So we are going to the village with portions of cow. If we can buy a whole one, is that not good? And we can have a truck, what they call it, a pickup load of chicken. Dropping one or cook up a house. Is that not the will of God? That's how we are going to finish witchcraft in our villages this Christmas. Then we are going to organize Thanksgiving in church. I know you have not been paying your dues, but when you tell the Reverend Father or the Anglican priest that you want to do Thanksgiving, he will forgive you of all the dues you have not paid because he knows Thanksgiving is revenue. God collects the thanks. See, you should be pitying us pastors. We also eat. Do you understand? Just pity us. Pity us, okay? Where I'm going is I go home. Please. Now, for some people, I'm telling you this. We may be laughing. But some must do this. That village... Sorry, if you're listening to us from abroad, you may not understand. But here, we're in Eastern Nigeria. We have certain cultures. So you go to that and book space for Thanksgiving. And if you have a car you just bought, drive it for Thanksgiving. Don't worry. He said, do you not think I have prospered? Yes, have you not prospered? You want to deny your prosperity? Then after church, I mean, it's your village church. There are not too many in that your this thing now. I mean, how many are they? Give me an idea. Civilly. No, go before those returners come, you know. Those ones come from Lagos to eat your food for nonsense. In fact, those people, the local team, they don't go green for this. they don't go green. Go do this, you know, this Sunday before those guys arrive. Yes. So you'll have prepared. So how many people? How many? 150. Your village is big, oh. Okay, there's Archdeacon. And on your own side. Okay, your own side, get Archdeacon. It doesn't have. So your own church is like 40 people. 50. So let's just average 75. So you can't do 75 packs of rice. You can now. You can do, drinks. So after your Thanksgiving, tell everybody to wait after church. Each person one pack. They collect it and then drink. They don't need your water. They have water at home. Is that drink? Do you know anybody that's happy when it's eat, they are eating? Their thanksgiving will go to heaven with your name on it. And those who are not happy, they will fall sick. God will bless those who bless you. And those who, let's not finish it. You know what I'm saying? But you have nothing to worry about. Please, I'm talking to people. I keep on emphasizing these things. You have nothing to worry about. You must go to church and please don't go finish Thanksgiving. Then you count your note, put an envelope, drop it there. That pastor must chop and pack his own specially. In fact, should I tell you, if you want him to preach a good service, should I tell you what to do? Deliver his own food before service. His offering before service. Let him enter the service looking at you with, God will bless you. Some people just annoy men of God and it's no good. My friend is a pastor, I won't tell you where. Pentecostal church. He said, people will come. And this guy, he's a praying man. He prays for people, teaches them the word of God, lay hands. God doing things in their lives. God will now do something. They will now come to do Thanksgiving. For example, they have a new child, now come and do Thanksgiving. I know him, he's not into money thing. But after a while, I started getting offended. Because when they finish Thanksgiving, he go look the offering basket. He will ask his people, how much that man draw for Thanksgiving? Say 20K. Say, how much did they do party? Be like 500K, 1 million. So he started telling them, all of you behave yourselves. He wasn't looking for money. You come do Thanksgiving and he's not reflecting. If you kill one cow for house, kill one cow for church. Because the pastoral team must eat too. Some of us just make pastors just be angry with you. Every time you call, God has been good to me. And you are not good to the man. Some people don't have manner. One day, pastor came and told me, he said, okay, now you despoil these people. Because people mishear you. Of course, it wasn't like saying that what I was teaching was wrong. He was just saying that maybe they should go to where somebody will put a burden. And then they will learn lesson. What am I telling you? So this Christmas, be a Christian. Amen? What did I say?
Be a Christian.
Yeah, be a Christian. In your village, I'm telling you, it's home, I'm saying. That pastor does not have to be preaching revelation. But this is the job he does. When people have problems in the village, he's the one they go to meet. When people give birth in the village, he's the one they go to meet. When people die, he's the one that does burial. You are not here to pay him for revelation. You are here to appreciate the fact that he's there. That time when, those of you from Anambra, Osumu, all those kind of areas, they're very, very hot IPOB things. Most people in the villages ran away. Yeah, people are nodding all over the hall. Yes, they ran away. The person I'm telling you about, I may not know the person directly, but it's a member of staff in my institution. One day, the fellow went to that area. People didn't know how hot things were with police escort. Those guys killed all the policemen. There were not too many, like two of them or so, three. They gunned the vehicle down. His own vehicle, there was no police person inside. So he ran inside. They pursued him. Now, where I'm going is that, I think he got down on foot. I've forgotten the details. You know where he ran into? A Catholic church. That the priest refused to run. Stayed behind because of his congregation. Inside that, see, they were under siege, but the priest did not run. That's what I'm telling you. The guy was telling me the story. He said, the priest stayed behind. He said, no, because of his people. But to be able to stay was a wise person. He knew how to handle some things. So he had to get the local terror, those boys, to trust him. And they left him alone. So that man ran into the place. Because we are streaming, I can't tell you some things, okay? So when he got there, he knocked the door open, the priest opened. He was running from men who were going to kill him. Now, what did he... Then the priest now told him these things to do. Then he picked a phone and called one of those boys. I said, come. This is my friend. Escort him out of here. Yeah. Where I'm going, that guy was a priest. He didn't run. He stayed with all the crisis, with everything. Everybody had disappeared from that area. He stayed. Because some people couldn't go, had a place to go. He could talk to people, he could counsel people. That's why I'm saying some of the people, you know, you're shouting. I know Pastor Okemute and Pastor Damin, they preach revelation when you go to their church. The guy for village is not the preacher of revelation. But if you know the service is offering by staying there. So I'm just telling you how to handle this hour period, okay? And how many times will I say this? Okay, I'll add my own threats to you. You know, God says, if you are afraid of anybody more than him, you get into trouble with him. So I'm begging you, don't let God vex for you. Otherwise, you use all your own methods to go to that village. Then when you are returning, your problem will not start. Because God waited for you at the boundary. See, you went there in fear of man. You are returning to face me. So go with confidence. I've given you a word from the Lord now. No evil shall befall you. None. Do what I have said. That's the people with things. Do Thanksgiving. Feed everybody after Thanksgiving. What are you celebrating? I just look over my life. God has been good. God has been kind. I just want all of you to join me. Just thank God for my life. The Lord is good. That is how to be a Christian. And by the time your cousins, your relatives, your uncles point to somebody, that woman or that man is a witch, is a dibia, is a ogbanje, is whatever. Don't argue with them. Let them wake up one morning and see you heading for that house. Yes, that's the first. Go there. Bring a fellow a gift. Shake his hand in public. Yes. And he offers you water. Brethren, drink it. Drink it. Thus says the Lord, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Huh? You're not saying amen. Go armed with that word. Before you take it, just, Father God, I thank you for this water. Now, the water won't hurt you, but just to calm your soul. Thank you for this water. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Drink it. And then go back. Little of them be watching for when something bad will happen to you. And you know what happened? Nothing. See, that is how they win for Christ. You can't be afraid. Like I told you, the people who, one day I was on a plane. I calm this storm. Remember that story? I calm this storm. I said, how can you calm this storm when you are not calm? How can you calm a storm when you are not calm? Can't ask glory. There's no pilot under such circumstances. If you were to film the pilot, they are not disturbed. Not because they are not afraid of anything, but then to be able to make rational decisions for everybody's safety, they have to be cool, calm, and collected. They had people who were in the cabin with me. Poor Enenche. They invoke the name of the God of Enenche. The God of Jesus Christ is not powerful enough. He has to be the God of Enenche. They entered into his shoe. Yeah, they did. Selma woke up that morning, couldn't find one of his shoes in Abuja. Because people on my flight had entered into the shoe. Now, for those who don't know, those are nonsense shoes. Now, no, not the men, no. I'm not talking about the men. The men are good people. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you want to pray. If I wake up one day, I find my shoe, I'm not seeing them. Let me just warn those of you, shoe prayers. I step into the shoe of Pastor Banky. All my shoes are on my shelf in the house. You can't enter my shoe. If you enter my shoe, you will slip and fall. So let's get that clear. Step into the shoes of Jesus Christ. It's good enough. See, Thank you. He will size you well, well. His size fits all. My shoe only fits me. Do you get? Yeah. Even if my son won't wear my shoe, it goes spoil out. Leave the shoe. But the shoes of Jesus Christ fits everybody. Once you believe in him, you are living for him. Put your feet in it. And I come in the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing, your soul will be calm. When he calmed the storm, they have to wake him up from sleeping. He was so calm, the storm couldn't wake him up. I calm the storm. God said, hey, wait, okay, let's calm you first. No, we'll handle the storm later. Let's calm you first. Peace. Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. Say, Lord, is it you? Yeah. Say, Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding will first calm your soul. The Lord now say, yeah. Let's face the storm. No, you face the storm. And I say, peace, be still. You know, Pastor Craig was telling us this kind of experience he had recently, just a few months ago. He was telling me about it. That it was also terrible. He said that their own was terrible. You know, my own, that is, we just knew it was bad outside and there was a bit of, he said his own, the plane will go up, drop down. It was serious. Everybody in the plane, see panic everywhere. The plane wanted to go, I think it was going to Abuja, couldn't land, it diverted, it was good, let's go to Kano. Plane was just diverting up and down. This was just a few months ago. Now, is the story he told about it. He said he just sat down. He said he noticed that, of course he wasn't moving, probably he was just praying, you know, under his breath. Then he noticed the guy beside him. That guy was just praying, just the guy was praying. No noise, he didn't hear anything. And suddenly the guy just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, storm, come in the name of Jesus. Just utter one small word. Pastor Corey overheard that, and he answered aloud, amen. Everybody vibrating the plane. They won't know the men who are really praying there. After that, everything went still. But my own people, I said, you are not calm. Well, you know what I'm telling the whole story? You can't preach a gospel that's not giving you peace to people that know you are afraid. You are afraid to come to the village. And you are telling them you went for a program. They know fear didn't let you come to the village. They know the church you are going to is not helping you. They know. They have more faith. That is, like, they have more confidence when they visit the Dibia than you have going to church. So why should they follow you? Why should they follow you? When you are as disturbed as everybody else, why should they follow you? Just imagine that on the boat, Reverend, they woke Jesus Christ up. Jesus said, hey, Mobe. You know, Peter is going back to fishing the next day. I mean, Jesus was sleeping. The weather woke him up. He said, Master, don't you care that we die? He said, we are going to die. Peter, why did you guys leave the shore now? And you know I'm tired from ministry. Oh, God. Heavenly Father, please, save my soul. You know you are the one that sent me on this mission, no? Once they reach shore next day, Peter is going back to fishing. Will you blame him? Matthew, will you all look? I never had this fear from people I'm collecting tax from. I'm going back to tax collecting. Why did they have so much respect for him? He woke up. What's the issue? His storm. And he didn't go there and say, hey, this storm, in the name of Jesus. Storm. Hey, in the name of the Lord. No. The Bible says that. Now, let me explain to you for those who don't know. The way the Greek letter in the Greek writing is this. He got there and talked down at the storm. Literal Greek says, be muzzled. In correct English, the way we speak it. Actually, what he said is, shut up. There's this, he belittled the storm. So my friend, shut up.
That's the best way to describe it. He said, peace be still. That's not what he said. He said, be muzzled. Shut up. Come on, don't disturb anybody here. How many people have dogs here? I mean, wicked looking dogs. That's your own. You got one. Who else? You have? All right. Let's assume your dog is losing your compound. I have a dog. It's kind of getting old now. But it's still very aggressive in barking. When it was younger, one day one of our sisters came to town. She went to see me briefly before leaving. She got to our gate. She knocked. She called me, said, sir, you have a dog? I said, yes, I do. Now listen, he said the dog, and he used to do that, charged at the, you know, towards the gate, and he doesn't stop. He will barge at the gate like that. So she was behind. When the gate shook, she ran into her vehicle and called me from there. Now, the fence is high. You can't see through the gate. But the vibration the dog gave the gate. You see where I'm going? So my dog does that. If I wanted, I told my friend, my kids, I don't think he sees from far. Because sometimes he enters the house, he starts charging like that. He's freeing the compound. So he starts charging at the gate. You open the gate to enter. Maybe the small gate, just slide the gate up. He's stepping. And he starts charging at you. Now, you see where I'm going? Have you ever run from that dog because of that? No, you don't. So you open the gate, you enter like that, and it starts charging from the back. Oh, whoa, whoa, he's barking loud. That's this very loud, you know, those ones with the loud bark. Whoa, 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 and he starts running, charging at you. Maybe shut up. And you know what he always does? He'll freeze. And then wagging the tail. She don't come, bro. Have a... You know what? It's predictable. No, please. Those of you who have dogs, you know, it doesn't cross your mind. Has he gone mad? No. He's running at like that back. Whoa, whoa. You just enter the compound. And if friends are with you, say, what do you tell them? Don't worry. You tell them, just stay behind me. And they'll just be walking with you. You know, they're looking at you and they're walking with you. And if the dog comes close, mine has a thick, you know, strong collar around the neck. Just grab the collar and give him a key, my friend. Will you behave yourself? Come on, go away. If this dog were to turn on you, he can injure you. But it doesn't cross your mind that he can. That's how the Lord Jesus handled the storm. He knew the storm was ferocious. He knew the storm could kill. He knew the storm could do. But he said, this storm, you're my dog. He said, shut up. And the dog literally will stop. You know, those of you who own dogs, you know that's what they do. Once they come close to you, sometimes you, some of you have done it before. You remove your slippers and wipe him on the face. And the guy runs away. Because you are the top dog. you get what I'm saying? That's the attitude believers are supposed to have. It doesn't mean the issues of life are not there. When you look at them, you're his for them. Nonsense. Come on, relax. And as God lives, they will calm down. I said, Samuel Doctorian saw his plane, the engine, catch fire. He was sitting in the window. He saw the engine catch fire. A plane took off. Engine caught fire. Which means the pilot had to quickly shut down. There's a way they do it. They can kill the fire, all right? But when you kill the fire, you've killed the engine. But then, they have only one engine. So the guy has to quickly go and touch. So everybody's panicking. Hey, calling at the... He just took a peek outside. Under that wing, where the engine went off, he saw the angel holding the plane. So he relaxed. As pilot was doing what he was doing, I'm sure the guy almost fell asleep. It's called the peace of God that passes all understanding. So please, don't disgrace God, though. Don't disgrace God. Say, the Lord spoke to me with a strong arm. That he was very emphatic. Said, don't call a conspiracy what these people call a conspiracy. Neither fear you their fears. Their fears. Whatever they are afraid of, don't be. Once they think one spirit comes out between so and so time and so time in the village, nobody can go out. Eh? Well, okay, then don't let me say God deliberately go out that time. No. Let me not say that. Okay? But, for example, you're in the village. You want to pee. The toilet is that type that you have to cross once more. Cross it. Say, why are you going out? Say, I want to pee. I can't pee on my body. Say, but village Juju is moving around. Say, don't worry. He won't come near the place where I'm peeing. For my pee is toxic to evil spirits. Say, and he knows it. And your mother say, this boy, don't kill me. Say, I can't kill you. Say, is that spirit that will die? If anybody must die. And tell them, let them know that don't worry, the spirits are aware. What am I saying, brethren? The Lord is speaking to us again this morning with a strong hand, a strong arm. Thus says the Lord, don't fear the fears of the people. Okay, I was telling you a story. If they say that, don't go out, tell them, I want to go out. If you guys want to, maybe the house is full, you want to pray, step out to pray. Yeah, no, they don't go out this time. You know, this is the period of the year. Once it's evening, we're not supposed to step outside the house. We say, why? Because village of Jude, they move around. Then I say, you know, go come this side. So why won't he come to this side? Because he will know I will be outside. And he knows. And if not, she spirit, she knows that when I'm around, they don't go around this side where I am. Why are you talking like this? Because greater is he that is in me. See, Jesus Christ has placed me in a place higher than all these people. You know, there was one man who was a great influence in my life growing up. In fact, before he passed on and went home to be with the Lord, one of the last things he did, one day he called me. As soon as I picked the phone, I am not sure I've been blessed like that in my life. He was just pouring the blessing upon me. I still remember where I was. Just, morning, sir. He didn't even say good morning. He just said, the Lord will bless you. He will anoint you. He just kept on, and I was just saying, amen, 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 amen. And this man was very, I've told you the story many times. Very powerful man of God. The one I told you that one day his tire went down. Those days before tubeless, tire went down. He reasoned that he doesn't have spare tire. What is he going to do? If I stop, what will happen now? He commanded the tire to get back up. The car righted and he continues his journey. It's when I told you the story that once he was traveling, he splashed water on some people. By accident, he was traveling. Some village men who were going to come from their farm back to home or something like that. So out of respect, he stopped to come and apologize to them that, sorry, it was an accident. I didn't, of course, by the way, you're walking on the road, on the highway, and there's a puddle of water. You should take care of yourself. Get away from there. Don't expect the driver traveling to be stopping because of you. But anyway, he didn't think so. He was nicer than I am right now. So, he splashed water on the men. Muddy water must have been. So he felt very bad. He stopped, came back to apologize. And one of the men calmed down. The other one refused to calm down. And he was using all kinds of foul words against him. So after a time, he got provoked. And so he cautioned the man. He said, please, I should let you know. He was speaking Yoruba to them, of course. In English, what he meant, he said, I'm an anointed man of God. What he said is that the oil of God is upon my head. He said, so nobody talks to me like this. And that one now worsened the situation. What will you now do? Or oil, kini go. We were talking. So he told his friend, tell him to stop. That I told you, I'm an anointed man of God. You don't use such words. You're disrespecting the grace of God for goodness sake. That man wouldn't stop. He said, okay, he got provoked. He said, I hereby return all your curses. That man dropped and died. On the spot. He just dropped. He collapsed and died there. He just told the man, okay, you like it like that? I hereby return all your curses to you. Those are the words he used for the man. The man just collapsed, prostrate on the floor, was dead. His partner saw it. Looked at the man. And ran. He knew what he wanted to do. So he didn't leave the place. He stood there with the dead body. Just leaned on his car. So the villagers all came back down. So that gathered people. So they said, okay, of course. They didn't come with noise. So they came begging. Women were on their knees. Men were prostrating. And he told them, he explained to them, I warned him. I told him I am a man of God. That he has to choose the kind of words that he uses. And they say, Oga, don't mind him, he's an idiot. Nabal is his name. Foley is with him. Then, when they finished begging, he calmed down. He now walked over to the body, placed his hands upon him, and commanded him to come back to life. The man got up, sneezed. He entered his car and drove away. The reason why I'm telling you this, just to give you a recapitulation of what his life was like. So one day, he went to his village. His father was a traditional ruler in the place. So he instituted, you know, started a revival. They had a program for this. Every day they were preaching. Everybody was, you know, gathering for the meeting. So the whole town kind of participated. They now had a Thanksgiving, the last day in their church there. You know who stood firmly against him? The chief priestess of one of the gods of the village. But was the chief priestess. That one withstood the whole thing. So, ignored, of course, went against the summons of the chief. Just like this thing, she was just against the whole revival. So the day they went for, that's I'm telling the whole story. So that last day they went for Thanksgiving. It was a Sunday. So a lot of people in the village gathered in church, they worshipped God, and returned home and met the woman's dead body in her house. She was dead. That's how I told this whole story. That program went for like a week. The woman stood against them, opposed them. Of course, they didn't agree to participate, but was just resistant. When they finished Thanksgiving on Sunday, they all returned home. Got to her own house. She was lying down there, dead. Nobody attacked her. God just said, it is enough. God just said, it is enough. So please, brethren, let's get rid of all these fears. You can't tell me you're a Christian, you fear village juju. If they put something at your door, sweep it away. I forbid you from praying about it. Some people go there and pray. You go and gather pastors. They come and anoint what now? Anoint a red cloth and a piece of one feather. You don't have broom? You don't have a broom? Come on, sweep! And tell anybody, see, if you dirty my compound again, you will come and sweep it though. Don't even... God knows I'm not lying. If you do that at my door, I will tell my wife and children because I know they will laugh. They will just laugh about it. I just imagine my daughter say, but daddy, I don't understand. What are you supposed to do? I say, my girl, I don't know. Eh? And please, if you want to do that at my door, I beg you, use a live cock. Don't use a dead one because if a dead one, I won't know what to do. But if it's living, put eggs. And please, you can't be offering sacrifice without yam. It's not right. Add yam to it. So at least I know that some things have been settled for the day. Please. That's what Christianity is. That's what I'm telling you. You can't be fearing the fears of the people. And one reason, okay, is that your Christianity has to be constant. Are you getting my point? Some people, you know, they want to say, hey, Pastor Banks said we should not be afraid. But New Yam Festival, they will go and offer the ayam at a shrine. God will bless Pastor Okemute. Okay, you know why? Because he has given us where to carry yam to now. So, if you don't know where to go, there's the Truth Assembly in Enugu. Carry your yam, go there. There's the Cornerstone Church. Carry your yam, go there. They will eat it. You know, new yam is to be eaten. So when the man of God eats the yam, the rest is holy. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But you want to know the truth? You can eat that yam on God's behalf. Yeah, you can. See, Pastor Kimti doesn't need your yam, really. What he needs is your bank transfer. So, sell the yam, transfer him the cash. But what I'm trying to say is that you can eat the yam. One of the reasons why you are afraid is because you carried your yam to the shrine and the spirit of fear followed you home. You can't serve Jesus Christ halfway. They know they do it like that. No, we can't. It's not when there's trouble, you can't run to him. When there's peace, you run to them. No, it's not done like that. You have to follow him fully. Live by his precepts. And as part of living by his precepts, don't be afraid of your fears. If they don't tell your children, that woman is a witch, don't go near her house. If she's old and she's alone, maybe she has eaten all her children. They said, though, I'm not saying she really did. And you see her every day fetching water by herself. Tell your children, in the morning, go, fetch 2 buckets of water and drop at her door. See, that's not my message. We'll get to my message in a moment. Let me tell you how spiritual things work. First of all, if you're a believer, there is nothing she can do. Now, I don't know whether she's a witch or not, because some of the people they call witches are just unfortunate people for whatever reason. But let's assume she's even one. All right? First and foremost, she can't do anything to your children. She can't. Just tell them to help her. You see an old woman carrying her bag from the market and you walk past because she's a witch. That's why you won't be blessed. Ah, Mama, is that bag not heavy? Let me carry it for you. Tell your children, you are walking with your kids. Uche, you, take the bag. The other one, help her get the water. Run ahead, drop it at her door. You know where the house is. Let her walk freely. Now, one or two things. One, this is what will happen all the time. You are going to be blessed for that. That honor you've showed the elderly. Forget whether you've been wish. That's her problem. The honor you have showed to the elderly, God will bless you and bless your children. But if for any reason, now please, this is very, very unlikely, but you know, your village people, they are not normal people, so let's just, all right, you come from one of those villages that God will wipe out, maybe. Yeah, some people are very bad, okay? So, if she's one of those people that's not saying, too much children to chop, she will not wake up that next day. She won't. She can't wake up. As God lives, no, she can't. That you took the kindness of my children for granted and you want to pay them evil for their good, God said, I will kill you. God kills people. That's why I told the story of that with the chief priestess and their misbehaving. When servant of God came with the anointing of God, I was okay. She, I gave you 1 week because God gives time. I gave you 1 week. You did not repent. By the time they were going back home, she was dead. And those angels that God sends there, they like the job. They will just carry the sword. You've seen it in the movies before. They go take the sword, lift your chin up. Say, you too be witch, eh? Yeah, witch this. They just strike her once. They have to stop there, to freeze. She will drop. And her shrine will be cleared and turned to church. And the evil spirits, they know, they will go. When the church building spirits, angels come, the evil spirits say, you guys want to use this space, eh? Yes, we want to use this space. Let's go to the next village. They don't pray in that place. The next village will just be seeing more troubles than before. That is what Christianity is. So. Are you getting my point? Let's follow him fully. Mm. All right. Can we now start today? That was great. Let's now pray today. See, you know, next week is the last week, last Saturday for Kingdom Word. And so I have to finish. And next Saturday, I don't even feel like preaching. I want to just come here and, you know, have a special day. If you like, don't come. We won't tell you how the day is going to go. I'm going to sing a few hymns. All right? And then we'll just be playing until we're tired. Well, so today is the last day, really, that I have time to share those revelations. So let's get into the revelations for this morning. Amen. So that was a greeting for us as we prepare for Christmas month. Amen. So what are we to do, Christians, talking about the power of heaven? You remember what we've been talking about is the fact that heaven can come down and fill our hearts. Heaven can come down and fill our soul. Heaven can come down to our earth. We've been talking about that. What I want to share today, you know, we've been talking about the last few times, I've been emphasizing what it means to be a doer of the word. But let's just take a text of scripture here from the book of John to, let's take the one from Luke 24, Luke chapter 24. Today I'm talking about a life built on the word. A life built on the word of God. Luke 24. Now I'll read two portions there. Let's first take from verse, let's just get some Bible reading in for today. Now, please, to save time, I will do a lot of jumping, because where we are going is 30 verses down. So, we can't spend all the time this morning just reading. Let me start from verse 13. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still and looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said, "Which things?" Then they told him about Jesus, a prophet mighty indeed. And they told him how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him over to be crucified, and how they were disappointed, and then how the women came that morning, said they couldn't find the body, and they had a vision of angels and all of that. Now look at what he's now saying in verse 25. "And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then," notice verse 27 now, "beginning with Moses," what it means is Genesis, Exodus, all the way to Deuteronomy, "and all the prophets," now that includes David, that includes Isaiah, all the way to Malachi, "he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Now notice this, in all the scriptures, there were things concerning him. Please follow that. So he was going through the scriptures and showing them things that had to do with himself. Now go further down. In verse 36, "while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, and all of that. Now, go down to verse 44. Now he said to them, now listen to this. All these things that you saw, all right? Said, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So there were things written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Now, please, for those who don't understand, the law, those three things were the three divisions of the Hebrew canon of scriptures. All right? The way the Hebrew Bible is divided, what you call the Old Testament, I don't call it the Old Testament, I call it the law and the prophets. Okay? The way it's divided is you have the law, you have the prophets, and you have what they call the writings. All right? Some will use the word Psalms to represent the writings, but the Hebrews divided into those three: law, prophets, and writings. And just for theological exercise, the law, you know what the law is? Genesis to Deuteronomy. The prophets were in two segments. What they call the former prophets and then the latter prophets. Now, the former prophets include things like 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, which is a book for them, and Kings. That's under the former prophets. And the latter prophets are not the one we call the prophets. Is that okay? Where did they keep? Anyway, let me not spend time giving those details. Then they now have what they call the writings. So that includes things like the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, and then Esther, and interestingly, the book of Daniel. All right, that was not under the first or latter prophets. That comes under the writings. Okay, so these are the three divisions of the Hebrew canon. Now the Lord Jesus went through all of them. And showed them things about himself. And he said, the Bible says in verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Just to do some more reading. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And I said to them, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. Okay? Now, I've just read all of this to let you know that the life of Jesus in details was described in the Bible. In the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. The life of Jesus Christ was described in details. And he said it to us. Okay? But what I want to emphasize, so when you hear the word became flesh, it's literal. God issued forth a word. All right? That's the way it is. Then the word becomes manifested. That's the meaning of the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And now one of the things you must enjoy, in fact, your desire in life, therefore, that's what I'm talking about, is that whatever God has spoken, because the reason why your life began was that God issued forth a word. Do you get my point? Your life was initiated by the issuing forth of the word of God. You hear him say, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Then that word will go forth and produce Adam. Do you get? So maybe he wants to say something like, let light shine forth out of Enugu and spread all over the place. And what do you mean by light shining forth now? Is the teaching of his word. All right? Instructions in righteousness. From there to be broadcast here and there. So, one man who married or will marry and then his wife will conceive and deliver a child. The child may be born in Enugu. Apostle, where they born, you say? Is it Ugele or where? Wari. Or may be born in Wari. Or may be born anywhere. Or may be born in Ondo State, like I was. Now, that's what initiates the conception. That's what initiates the delivery. All right? There are many things that are spoken about. You see, remember, God said, I saw you in your blood, and I said, what? Live. Now, that live brings forth many things with it. But you see, there's something that John said, that if we were to write everything, that's what the whole world will be able to compare, what they call, contain the books that will be written. So God speaks in summaries. Do you understand? So when he says, live, in that is a school. In that is money to buy clothes. In that is money for food. Is that a farmer has to cultivate and constantly produce because God said live. If you were to expand that word live, to keep that child alive, many things are working. One of the things that scientists find hard to understand is why the earth is so small. All right? And yet it's the only... Now, the what they call the observable universe. If light starts traveling from one end of it to the other end, it will travel for billions of years before it finishes traveling. That's how big light is. The universe that people have observed is now. Please, those are dimensions and distances impossible for the mind to conceive. You can't conceive it. Let me explain. If you were to travel from one end of... No, let me not even start that. Do you get you more confused? Let me just say that if you were to enter the fastest plane that human beings have ever produced, and you started from one end of the universe, you are going to the other end, you will travel for nothing like 500 billion years, and you are not even one third of the way across. Now, I say one third because I'm preaching, I don't have time to do the calculation. It's far less than that. Because the fastest plane that human beings have produced is not close to one, what is one tenth? It's not close to 1% of the speed of light. Do you get? So that's how big it is. Now, in the midst of all of this, one planet that just a few thousands of kilometers across is tiny. It's so tiny that it's too tiny. I don't want to spend more time describing how tiny it is. So scientists say, because of just probability, because life came, as far as they are concerned, by accident, the accident must have happened somewhere else also. Only this one so far has been shown to have any form of life. Not human beings. I'm talking about life. Not human beings. So, worm. They've not seen, that's no evidence that it exists anywhere else. It's confounding. If you don't believe the scriptures, you will live a life of confusion. But there's so much out there, you just keep getting you confused. What they don't understand. But when God wanted to divide it, oh God, 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 God. He called it the heavens and the earth. All these galaxies, he called them what? The heavens. This is interesting. He said one day, he will wipe them away like this and they will pass away. God takes them like one thing, the earth is another thing. As tiny, you know why? Why I'm saying all of this? Because when God wants to do something, he uses the word live. When you expand it, you will find galaxy dimension of details. Just to keep Adam and Eve alive. Just to keep this earth balanced in its own space. We know for a fact that planets, not even planets, forget planets. Galaxies that are billions of light years away, they're affecting what happens on this earth. The intricate, weaving of gravity, space-time, is affected by everything. And I'm telling you this morning that God has put every, you know what's interesting? All of the galaxies, do you know God has a name for each one of them? Yeah. Human beings have not been able to see most. So they name a few. Of the hundreds of billions of galaxies, God has a name for each one. Now listen to what I want to say. He He knows what each one does. What a mighty God we serve. That is literal. What a mighty God we serve. It's literal. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. He's mighty. When he wants to end this, all these galaxies, you know, galaxies, I've been talking, when he wants to wipe there, he's like this. And you know what the Bible says? He'll make new ones. He's a mighty God, is literal. Back to what we're saying. So when he speaks a word, there's a lot of details in it. See, when he said the seed of the woman will bruise your head. Now let me tell you, that simple word, all right? Began to produce. And it began to produce, and some of the products includes people like, or included people like Abraham. The seed of the woman will bruise their head. God is giving us revelation about the woman Sarah. It included the woman Sarah. That woman was critical in God's agenda. Go home and study Sarah. Because the Bible says she received what? By faith, yes. She received the power to conceive Isaac. That word was working. That word walked all the way to one little girl called Mary. That word arranged a lot of intercessory support because he gave a word that the seed of the woman will bruise your head. If you know what, see, I did all this talking about galaxies to let you know that that word is so deep. There's something he has spoken about me, spoken about you, that right now is making somebody wake up in Australia. There are things he has said about you that right now, as we are speaking this morning, Bola Tinubu is waking or is doing something in Abuja. He's woken up for some time or he didn't sleep. This man don't sleep, okay? And is making policies that will affect your life. Somebody wants to go out. That word has gone to block his gate. That you can't go out this morning because this has to be done. See, that is why he is God. He weaves these things together. He knows how they interact, what they will produce. But you see where I'm going in a moment. Because he has given you and I some things to do. That is, when I say to do now, cooperation on your side so that he can effect some things that he has planned. Because even though he has spoken a word, all right? He still leaves you a free will to say, do you want to agree or you don't want to agree? Now, please, let me say this again. The way you, this is very important. When you exercise, now, let me give an example. Those of us that teach faith sometimes, we make a mistake. We teach a faith that controls the fine details of life. It doesn't exist. I need to say that again. The kind of faith that controls in your consciousness the fine details of your life, it doesn't exist. God has not granted that to you. It's one of the things that the Bible calls the secret things that belong to God. James said it clearly. You can't say, next year we'll do this, next year we'll do this, we'll go to this place and make money. James said, you can't do it. He said, try it, you will vanish like smoke. You know, one day one guy used to do some work for me. Things are not working well for him. Again, in Enugu. Somebody told him to move to a zero where you're somewhere. All right? He said that money opened his Bible. It's in the Living Bible. James said that those of you who say, we'll go here, go there and make money. He said, they vanish like smoke. So next time I went, he said, it's a banky. He said, this Bible is interesting. He said, he was making plans. Now I went and read his Bible. He said, the Bible said, you all vanish like smoke. So the guy refused to travel again. He said, he doesn't want to vanish like smoke. Do you get my point? See, the ability to plan your life in fine details, there is such faith has not been granted. Please, I will say it one more time. Such a faith has not been, let nobody teach it to you. Motivational speakers are the ones that teach it. Real faith teachers don't teach it. They can't. Because God doesn't even give them the inspiration to do it. There was a time, young men, all right, one come with them. You see some of our brethren say, all right. They played lottery. They bought lottery tickets. And they have they will win it. And they said, you know, you have to, your faith has to work. So what would we do? We start doing. We start planning how to spend the money. Let's use today's naira now. Start price, 100 million naira. Lottery, each ticket is 500, as an example. The guys go to buy a lottery ticket for 500 naira and put it in the room. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will win. That will be the winning number. It'll be 100 million. God, you know, you get 10%, all right? They just start calculating. No, details. And it was taught to us that it was faith. I remember one brother said, told me he did it. And I was looking at him. And I, you know, you couldn't speak against his faith because you'd be like the devil. You don't understand? A man tells you, I bought lottery ticket, it is going to win. Look at this lottery ticket, it will win. How do you know it will win? Because I said it will win. I've prayed to God about to make this lottery ticket win. So you never ask again because you know it's not going to win. But you can't tell him because it'll be like you're an enemy of what? Faith. And I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't exist. You can't even command it. Whew. Look, I'm wrecking people's faith this morning. You can't command the kind of job you will get. You can't. You can have a desire. Oh, please, don't get me wrong. Oh. You can have a desire. I have desires. I have prayed about them. There are things, when I talk to the Lord about it, I talk to the Lord like talking to your father. I like this. As I'm saying it, he knows I'm saying that I am not 100% certain that's what he wants to give me. But this kind of thing satisfies me. I really like it. But there are things I can ask him for and it's guaranteed I know it will not shake. Why? Because he initiated it, not me. And those things really don't have fine details. I can say my children will be blessed. I can say my children will not lack. It's scripture like that. I can say they will be mighty in the land. Each one of them will become a nation. You know that kind of thing. You can know those kind of things. But which kind of nation are they going to be? You don't know. When we talk about nation, a whole industry is built because of somebody's vision. For example, a man like Joseph, you know the story. Did he dream a dream? The dream was given to him, you know that. Now, let's be clear about this. Could anybody have imagined in that family how that dream was going to come to pass? They thought that this is a land God has given to our father. This man said he will be king in this land. See, that is the logic. That's the logic. All of them bowed to him. So, he's going to be, one day they are going to be big, then he's going to be, and he's not even the oldest. Look at this stupid boy. Are you the oldest in this family? Reuben is there. He's not going to be king. What are you saying? In case you do not know, you are the second to the most junior. There were 12 boys, right? What was his position? Number 11. This boy did not get respect. No, let's get it clear. He didn't have respect. You know why? They were contending over the inheritance that God had given them. And they look, what are you even just trying to say? Okay, let's even leave Reuben. What about Judah? You get the argument. The guy said, there's no fight now. What are we fighting over? He said that the sun and the moon and all the 11 stars were bowing down to him. Even me, until recently, I didn't think about it, but when we were children, what was his son? His father. What is the moon? His mother. No, that's what they told him. With your father and your mother and your brethren bow down to you. Now we know it was a very wrong interpretation of his dream. It's against God's law. His father could not have bowed down to him. Especially since the man was a man of the covenant also. It's against God's order. His mother couldn't bow down to him. Because she was dead. Was she not dead? Many of these people have forgotten that the mother died long ago. Which was one of the reasons the father loved him and the junior Benjamin so much. But it was against God's order also. Was it last Saturday here I was preaching? And I mentioned about the video I saw in which one woman said, my husband, come here, kneel down. And she laid hands on him. And in the name of Jesus, yeah, right now, I begin to declare. I said, this is foolishness. When people don't understand things, and small girls, I say, oh, all the comments on social media, oh, this is the kind of wife I want to be. That's how to be a witchcraft wife. It's not spiritual. You know, I've told you, whoever did that video, if you are hearing me or somebody forces this to you, take the video down. It is wrong. You are portraying something that is very, very out of order. Take that video down. Don't do it again. And young ladies, don't admire bad things. Don't go home now and not tell your husband, come and kneel down here. Say that to your children. Say that to your children in my house. And I tell you, every morning, every day, finish praying, the children will kneel down. I don't mean, they literally kneel down. I tell them, one knee must touch the ground. They go to their mother, she blesses them. They come to me, I bless them. And their mother comes to me, also puts her knee down, and I bless her. The day will not come, because God said it will not happen, that I will put the knee down, and she will be the one blessing me. What will happen? There's nothing like order again. Brother, let's get that clear. It is not about pride, it's about order. It's not about pride, it's about order. Some guy is doing a movie. I saw that, I just said, my wife said, my husband, relax. Not everybody understands these things. I said, okay, I understand. It was the comments, yeah, you know, go, girl. I said, no, you don't do things like that. In case you did not know, you don't do things like that. Back to the story of Joseph. We found out, what was the sun? What was the moon? The gods of Egypt. Yes. The sun and the moon represented Egypt and all their worship. The sun represented Pharaoh. Represented the princes of Egypt. And of course, the 11, they are his brethren. Did they not bow? Egypt bowed to him. His brethren bowed. He didn't want them to bow. If they had given him a choice, he would not have asked them to. But they were already on the ground before they knew it was Joseph they were bowing to. Now, let's get back to what we're saying. Could he have planned that? Brethren, could he have planned that? Please, I'm preaching to you who are Bible teachers. Stop teaching to people as if they can plan details. They can make requests. I keep saying that you can make requests. Sometimes God gives you a desire that provokes you to a kind of request before the Lord. And it is because he wants to grant it. So, but it's not only God's spirit that moves you to desires. These are your eyes. They can move you to desires. Your neighbors can move you to desire. But sometimes the Holy Spirit also comes. So when is your eyes? Your neighbors, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. God, as a father, should, and he does, decline. People say, if you ask by faith, God can never say no. You don't understand. That kind of faith that God never says no to is actions taken by revelation. This also, I will let the house of each Israel ask me to do for them. He gave a long list of what he wants to do. So ask for this, ask for this, ask for this. Israel was entering the promised land. He told them, your boundary, Euphrates, the great sea on this side. He gave them the boundaries in front and behind. This one, Moabites. I gave it to them. This one, Ammonites. This one, Edomites. These three people, I owe it to them also. I made them a promise. Please, don't go near their land. What does that mean? If you ask for the land, you are asking in unbelief. Yeah, because he had told you, it doesn't belong to you. So as a father, sometimes he declines requests. That's not supposed to take away your faith. That's why when I'm praying about things, God has trained me, helped me with that over the years, to know things that cannot change. I'm not going to change. For example, I was talking with Uday a few days ago. Something led to it. And he mentioned one brand of car. Now, I used to like it. I won't tell you which one. The kind of thing I said, Father God, I like this. He said to replace the key. It's 3 million naira. You need a spare key. So I said to the Lord, I don't think I like it again. Not as if the Lord doesn't have 3 million naira to give me, but why should I spend on a key? So 2 keys is a used Corolla. What do you feel with me? Overnight, I just said, I don't think I like that thing again. No. And the Lord is laughing. He said, I knew you did not know. So I won't let you have such a thing because the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrow. That's why your Heavenly Father has a responsibility to decline something. So I don't like the preaching of faith that means like, no, just focus on it, focus on it. That's not faith. That's New Age. That's Hinduism. Because everything you are focusing on has something that's coming with it. There's something that's coming with it. So what do you do? Focus on the word. The word is alive. The word knows what is good for you. After all, the job you are praying and holding on is not the salary they are paying. I got to say, there are things that come with this job you are not aware of. Many jobs in this life will take your destiny to collect it. See, there are different ways God moves people. And he knows you. I hope you know he knows you. He knows you. The Bible says that he will not let any temptation come to you more than you are able to handle. All right? Good. You know what that tells you? There are temptations you can't handle. It's life. There are temptations I can't handle. However, I know from scripture that if it comes to me, I can handle it. But theoretically, there are temptations I can't handle. But if anyone comes, I can handle it. Because God would not have allowed it to come if I could not. But like I said last time, there are many temptations people refuse to handle at the handling time. Okay? But let's not teach about that now. But you will understand that there are things you can't handle. So there is a kind of job you will step into. God say, hey, wait. It will take you to a temptation you cannot handle. So I won't let it come to you. So you'll be praying for that job, praying. God said, block it. So sit for it. Not just the angel. Close the door. Close it. And please recognize early when God is closing a door. Retreat and go and pray well. Because if you continue barging into that door, eventually God will leave the door for you. You will fall into a temptation you can't handle. He said, but the Bible says that it's not. No. God said, no. I stopped it. I didn't want it to come to you. But you refused to yield. So I let, it says in the scriptures, you'll be satiated with the fruit of your own ways. You'll be filled with the fruit. So right now, you are being filled with the fruit of your own ways. You keep on insisting on something. God said, look, you can't handle this matter. Please, let me stop for a moment and explain something. When God is obstructing you, you know, people have asked me sometimes, how do I know it's something? Because sometimes you have to persist before you get the results that God wants you to get. All right? At other times, is God obstructing you? So is it every obstruction that is God? Or how do I know the one that is God? Or a challenge I'm supposed to learn to overcome? Now that's a prayer I need to pray in your life. Father, please help me to know when it is a challenge I must overcome or it's an obstruction, a door you have closed so I can turn back. It's an important prayer. For example, there's a man called Balaam. Balaam is going to where he's not supposed to go. So the donkey starts rubbing his leg against a fence, a wall. The donkey is not moving. A normally obedient donkey is not doing what it's supposed to do. And you start flogging the donkey. And it's moving around in circles. In that process, it pins your leg against a wall and injures you. And you start beating the donkey. Now, why was the donkey not moving? It's simple. God wanted to save your life. Because there's a principle in heaven. We can't go into details. Mercy speaks differently from judgment. That's what the Bible says. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So that angel on the road was the angel of judgment. But the spirit of mercy possessed the donkey. So what did the spirit of mercy do? Open the eyes of the donkey so that he was afraid to move. That's it. Otherwise, that angel of judgment had a decree. You cross this line, I will kill you. So it was crucial that he didn't cross that line. So in your life, you have to know. As a young man came to me once, many years ago, it's a story I've told a few times, many years ago. I looked at it. If he tells me now, I'll say, no, boy, I think you made a very terrible mistake. He wanted to relocate, not now, nothing less than 27, 28 years. He said he needed to see me. I knew him when we were in school. He was my junior on campus, so he respected the fact that I was a pastor, and we use that expression, on campus those days. He said he needed to see me. He came to see me. He said he wants to go abroad. He did all the paperwork. They denied him. Now, let me explain. Each application was made, you make the applications at the cost of a whole month's salary for a young doctor. That was the equivalent. Then I remember very well. So he applied the first time, declined. Applied the second time, declined. So I let you know to know the cost of each application. Is that okay? Then he was going to, so he was talking to a man he knew, and that man explained to him that no, this is why they are refusing you. This, and that. He explained all the details. And that what you need is money. So next time, before you go, talk to me. I will give you money. He was going to give him a lot of thousands of pounds. All right? Which he would demonstrate that he had, that would allow them, would convince them that he could travel. All right? So, this time he applied again. And now, the man said, let me know before you go for the interview. 2 days before the interview, he called the man's office. Let's make a long story short. The man was dead. Yeah, the man died. Ah. He said, what? That was when he saw me. He said, no, please, I need to come and see you. I need counsel. So he came. And I still remember looking at him like, you know who's going to die next? If I were the one, I wouldn't even bother. But that one, I told him, let's just follow it through. You paid? He said, yes. All right, good. I said, go like nothing happened. Just go. For the man who promised you this is gone, right? There's no way of getting the money. So go. Tell your story the way you want to tell it. All right? And then, whatever happens is the will of God. Now, if I was the one, God would have to show up, an angel would have to show up to make me go near the embassy again. That is not, obstacles test your faith on principles. They test your faith on precepts. Do you get my point? They don't test your endurance on chasing nothing, on chasing vanity. If you are gathering money to buy a car, as an example. First time you gather, you said, how much is the car? 1.5 million. You gather the 1.5, you wanted to go and pay. They say, it has increased to 2.5. You go back home, you go and gather 2.5 a few months, you come back to pay. I said, no, it's not 3.5. It's not an obstacle to overcome. It's an idea to forget until God brings that car to your doorstep. You say, God, no, okay, I can't run up and down like this. How much do I have now? 2.5 million. Come, let me go and see. I've come to this practical point again. That's when you enter your house. If I decide, say, this television here, I think I should get a big one. Go and install a low energy AC in your bedroom. Half of the money, go to church. Look at one brother whose shoe needs vulcanizer. Say, come, pick two here, pay. One brother has been admiring your clothes. Say, follow me to my tailor. Tell your tailor, make 3 sets for him. And say, church, offering time, blessing time. You know, there's an alert that church treasurer will get. The phone will physically vibrate. It's not on vibrato. You get my point? You get alert and the phone will vibrate. Let it happen. Finish the whole morning. And say, God, I'm going to get 5 keke men's numbers and install Bolt and Uber, Bolt, and all those rides on my vehicle, on my this thing. From now on, I am not going near a car shop again. So God, the next motor that we'll have, you will bring it to this house by yourself. There are many ways you will do it. But see, that's how to solve such a problem. So someone enter your house, this is your TV. And don't go and buy those cheap TVs that you don't know who made them. Let me do small digression. Allow God to bless you well. Do you get my point? The other day, my wife wanted to do something. She said, my husband, it's not as if the money is not there. They said, well, I don't have faith to spend the money. I said, okay, come. Receive faith in Jesus' name. Yeah, sometimes you have it, but how can? Some TV, they tell you they are smart. You are smarter than them. Nonsense. Seriously, that kind of money I used to pursue things you can't afford. Buy a good phone. Not the phones that overheat when you want to watch a video. Go down the hot. Instead of pursuing things that are beyond you, that's what I'm saying. At the level you are in life, enjoy that level well. You are at a particular level, enjoy that level well. People be going to levels that are far beyond them. They can't enjoy that level they are. They have left the one where they are. You know, understand my point? You didn't have money for motor, okay, praise God. But you could chatter keke anytime. You could enter, what do you call, a boat, any ride of this ride, this thing. You could. And now go and buy a very expensive car that they have to drop the engine to change the Kickstarter. Your life is not the same again. What kind of things are? I dig into that. I'm helping somebody again. I'm talking about new challenges. There are challenges that are not meant to be overcome. I mean, there are obstructions, that is the word, that God has sent. And please, I can't give you all the tips, okay? You just have to pray because God actually stops people. There are times you want to go on a journey, God says no. That young man that time, finally I heard he still left. I said, what? You know, there are times God will look and say, what do you want me to do again? Please, stop believing the doctrine that says you can do just anything you wish with your life. It's not true. You can have a plan and God says, no, that's not my plan. There are different ways. See, when I was in Lagos, of course, I got to Lagos in an interesting way. I never planned. In fact, I remember one of our sisters went to visit her one of those days where she was working. It wasn't too far from where I was staying. So I went to her office and she saw me, hey, what's going on? So she just stepped out, talked to me a bit, and I said, what's the plan? I said, well, maybe hang around, maybe get a job. I still remember her face. Said, Banky, you work in Lagos? She didn't know the day will come. I uttered such a statement. She said, you work in Lagos? I said, when? I said, well, I'm here. Because how I got to Lagos was not planned. The summary of it was that I served, my NYC was done with the Nigerian Army all the way in Taraba State. So I had some issues. They didn't pay me some of my allowances. So they said, look, that this is beyond them. I went to the brigade headquarters. They said, you have to go to the headquarters. And that was in, I think it was either Dodan Barracks or Bonny Camp. But it was in Lagos. So I went to Lagos to come and say, guys, now they owe me money. After going up and down to their office, you know what they finally said to me? I went to defense headquarters. So I remember that lady, finally I was supposed to talk to her. She said this is out of order, that the army should solve their own problems, not transfer it to defense headquarters. That she's sorry. I walk out from here, from defense HQ to Bonny Camp, up and down, pursuing allowance meant for NYC doctor. So when she told me that, God gave me that grace. I just left them. Say, I beg. I can't be pursuing how much now. But now, I was stuck. Okay, so while I was hanging around, somebody now said that. So there's another place I wanted to go after. I had gone to travel there to go and drop my application. So one of our sisters was living in that city. Said she'll follow up for me. She now sent me a message that they said no, they are not employing, they don't have space right now for anybody. So here I was, where they don't want to be. And where I wanted to go has been declined. Do you get? So I was forced to stay behind. As I'm now looking for work, the stories I've told many times about how my life was going, I didn't get work, I was driving my cousin about, I was listening to messages, going to church. So one day, I made up my mind, I never wanted to come to this city. So let me go back to where I wanted to go to. So at this time around, I was working in Luth, so I told my colleagues, I'm resigning. I thought I was resigning, I was going to leave, I was going to travel back here. I told them all of those things. So they're okay, when are you going? Those gifts were going on. Then one day I went to church. I used to go to church a lot. I like going. I didn't go to church. I used to go to church a lot. I resigned the job that was giving me money so I could go to church. So one of those days I went to Winners. Bishop Oedipo used to teach us a lot. I mean, if you can get those messages to preach those days, that's when you know Papa used to teach. I don't know about now, okay? Maybe in some circles. But those days, I mean, you get, for him to teach 2.5 hours at a go was not a strange thing. He used to teach. I used to listen to him all the time. So one of those days I went to church. It was a regular service. He finished preaching. I bought a tape. But this particular tape I was looking for. All right. So I went to look for it. The guy had the tape section, because they're handling hundreds and hundreds of people. So they have streamlined their activities so that you couldn't book a tape anymore. You bought whatever they had on the shelf. So after a service, you produce plenty. If you come, you buy it. It's available. Okay. So that day, I went to look for a particular tape. And one man came and said, I had a tape I just bought. For certain reason, I wasn't too excited about it. One man came and was looking for that very tape I had. That the one he bought was defective. So the man manning the tape section said to him, sorry, we don't have another one. Return it and pick anything you have, you find on the shelf. So the guy said, oh, this particular one he wanted, though. I looked at it, and I was standing there, I was also being attended to. I said, oh, this particular one, I just brought out my own. This is it, right? He said, you can have this one. So I took his defective one. So he was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfect, it's okay, I've listened to it, it's perfectly working. So you know, he was looking at me funny. Then why are you giving me? I said, don't worry. Give me your defective one. He gave it to me. So he left. And I turned to the guy. So I have a defective tape. You get the logic. And the logic was what? Choose any replacement you want. Which worked out for me. So I gave it to the guy manning the place. And I looked up and down. And I saw this message. Rima, the living word of God. Let me have it. So I just walked out of the place with the tape. Now, this is Yanopaja. I was living at Ilupeju. Those of you who know Lagos. I had to take 3 vehicles to get back home. For church to Yanopaja. Yanopaja to Oshodi. Oshodi to Mushi. That's how it was. So from church to Yanopaja. Yanopaja to Oshodi. Oshodi to Mushi. 3 buses. So by the time I get home, usually it's late. This was service. I did all of this movement inside the tape shop. I started going home. By the time I get home, it's late. That day when I got home, it was late. So I went to have a bath so I could cool down. Then to go and sleep. As I lay down to sleep, I always have a tape player. Instead of just lying down like that, I put something to play until I fall asleep. I still do that till now. This time around, we have smart devices, makes life easier. So, I put the tape and I lay down to sleep. And Bishop began to speak. Now, please, I've said to us again and again, when the word of God is coming, it's not the letters you are hearing. There's a spirit that is riding. And he began to speak about Rima, the living word of God. How God communicates his will. And he was telling stories here and there. He has spoken for a few minutes when I had to get up so that I wouldn't fall asleep. You know, I was playing it to fall asleep. This time around, I got up so I wouldn't fall asleep. The message was 45 minutes. And he talked about Rema. And he talked about this. He told his story. And he will tell you the story. So people say that Bishop Oedipo was building a church in Kaduna. One day he went there. Told everybody to park and leave. And if you know Bishop very well, some of you don't know him. He will not give anybody any explanation. They abandoned the site. With all the iron rod, the foundation, everything they have done, he just walked away. Let everybody pack. Pack. Why? He won't tell anybody anything. If you're angry, that's your problem. What was the reason? That the Lord said, this was never my plan. This and that. That's what he said. So he abandoned a project. They had sunk a huge amount of money inside. So he talked about all of this. Now, forget all of these things. I could give you the things he said in the message, but you'll be stuck on the letters. Let me get the spirit of what I was hearing. As he was talking, what I was hearing, Banky, you have made your own plans. You're about to resign from your office. You're about to travel here. You're about to do this one. These are your plans. These are not the plans of the Lord. That's what I heard. Pastor Corey told me once, his siblings abroad told him, let's get you your British passport. Right? So you're going to leave school. People do all that kind of thing. So he told one of his friends, I'm leaving school. I'll get my passport. When I get my passport, I'm moving over to the UK. They were walking on the road. And the friend said, oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. He said, listen to this. He said, as long as that's the will of God for you. This man of God gave me the testimony. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. He said, don't ask me how I know. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. Now, the problem, all right, is for you not to even consider that God has the will in that area. You're not getting my point. See, he had never thought that what is God's plan in this regard. He had been following the plan of his family people who felt the way of your destiny is this way. And he didn't have a problem with it. He did not. After all, he wasn't going to struggle. You get my point? It's just a matter of walk over to the Isaiah home office, they call it, you know, fill out the papers, they hand him his passport. And so they will send it to him. He picks it. Anytime he wants to travel, he travels. He said, as soon as he said it, he realized, now, let me amplify it a bit, that I have never considered this thing in the light of what exactly does God want me to do. So it took him only half a second. The moment in the realm of the spirit, the thought came, let's ask God, what is your plan? The answer was waiting. Boom, it entered his heart. It's not the will of God. And he abandoned it. He said, no, what God wants me to do is to travel over to northern Nigeria and start pastoring his people there. And he got up one day by himself and did that. So nobody should give the impression that everything is the way you like it. You were ordained for it. No, I said it last time. You were ordained for a reason. You were ordained. See, there's a reason. The testimony I've given many times was when my mother asked me, what about this? What about that? I said, no, I don't do that anymore because I don't have the time. The ministry I run takes most of the time I have. So I barely have enough time for all these other things. So it had to do with a private practice I had, which was earning me some extra income. So I said, I've shut it down. She said, but ministry does not pay you money. And really, at that time, more than 90%, I think I can say that, that will be accurate. Okay, let's just drop it. Okay, add some other things that people gave us, you know. But most of the money Kingdom was spent came from what my wife and I earned. So she said, ministry doesn't pay you money. And the answer I gave, I believe, was by the Spirit of God. He said, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. I just said, what shall we do then? I said, we will save because it's not paying. I explained myself better in English, right? I'm more articulate if I want to give a point across to you in English. But I was speaking normally in Yoruba to my mom, all right? But that one, I had to switch over to English again. And I explained to her, I said, Mommy, what are we going to say then? I said to her, this was a reason God allowed you, this is my mother I'm talking to conceive me. And I said to her, this is why I did not die at birth. And all my life, I'd had a number of fantastic opportunities to die suddenly. Yes. The ones that vehicle wanted to execute. My mother had never heard this story. But if she ever heard it, it's when I'm preaching. Around 1983, thereabout. We finished inter-house sports in my school. I went to a mission school, an Anglican school. massive school. You know, I mean, I drove my wife through our school compound one of those days. That kind of school we all went to. So thousands of people are trooping up and down our entire, you know, it was a big ceremony. So that day I was excited. Coming home, I dropped from the bus at my gate. I dashed across the road without looking. Meanwhile, the commercial vehicles were doing, you know, drop passengers, go back and get more. They were over speeding. This guy came. He was whizzing past and I ran right into him. Let me explain. He whizzed past me. I was going so fast, I couldn't stop, despite that. So as I was running across, this bus just went, view! I just saw him pass in front of me like this. I was inches away from him. You know, I began to tremble. Don't worry. That same spot, one of my neighbor's children was knocked down and killed. You know that girl that you met, the younger sister? Was knocked down and killed. A little girl. I was a little boy. I could have died that day. The next opportunity I had was in Lagos. I was coming from church. I was going to travel. I didn't realize that part of Yaba was dual carriage. I'm supposed to go, phew, phew. I just jumped right into the center. I'd look this way. Not knowing they were also coming this way. There was a reason why I was not supposed to be wrong. It was just a special traffic adjustment made to ease traffic that made the other side. You know, you have a dual carriage road. So one way is one way. The second way is always the other way, right? This one, the one way one going this way is one way. The second side was dual. I didn't know. I crossed this part, the first part looking the correct way. To cross the other side, I looked the correct way. I thought. Then I entered the road. And this bus had to swerve with all his energy to avoid killing me. But God said, leave. God had said, leave. So I told my mom that day. Because these things happened, this discussion happened long after all these things. In summary, this is why I have lived till now. I will be cheating God or attempting to cheat to not neglect the reason he kept me alive to say I have other things to do. That when I finish with the other things, I'll not do his own. Let me say something to you. Many of us don't realize it. Every day, go and read my book, By Faith Acquire Life. Every day, voices are speaking against you. You don't want God to leave you to those voices. Go to the heaven. There's a seat of judgment that God sits on. Everybody can come there and make their petitions. Jesus Christ speaks mercy constantly for his sheep. And his sheep hears his voice. Or his sheep hear his voice. Let's look at them in plural. And they follow him. So if you are not following him, you frustrate, obstruct, and obliterate his intercession on your behalf. Nobody come and give you an impression that anything you like, you do with your life. No. When you do like that, the intercessions of Jesus Christ become non-effective. Listen, it does not exist as a faith principle that you do just what you like. You just go where you like. No. Understand, please. I feel strongly about telling somebody this morning. The Lord can say no to your plans because he has his own and your own came after his own. And he's a Lord. He's the Lord. What I mean by he's the Lord? His will is final. And he doesn't have the problems you think you have. What's paramount to him is not what you have achieved in this life. Did he not say it? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses? What does it consist in? Jesus said it to us also. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. No, let me tell you something. The ways of God are, pardon me to use modern way of speaking our colloquial English. The ways of the Lord, they are crazy, you know. Friend of mine, one day, his wife now is our friend. So I went, traveled. She asked to see me. What's going on? She called me to the side. I said, what is it? He said, your friend asked me to marry him. I was pretty surprised. I said, okay. He said, I just want you to know that I think, I told him that, he said the whole idea is okay with me. So I'm going to marry my friend? Yes. Okay. And they got married. Okay. So later on, her father asked her, before the marriage, her father knew the man he wanted to marry. So I'm just curious. I mean, like, I'm not angry. I mean, I like him. He's a nice guy. He's a young man. He says God sent him to go and pastor. He has gone to pastor. He's okay, fine. All right? Okay. But, you know, there's an literal high-earning person who was always visiting them at that particular point in time, who wanted to marry the same woman. So the father said, please, I just want to know. No, he's not angry. He has given his consent 100%. I'm fine with it. But what is it? Because by natural calculation, naturally speaking, both of them are handsome. Naturally speaking, let's be natural and be reasonable. You know what to say. Let me not say. So the father wanted to know, what is the attraction? She gave only one simple answer. One very answer. He said, one friend that can say to me, give me your hand. I want to take you somewhere. Close your eyes. I will put my hand in his own and I'll close my eyes and I'll be comfortable. Father said, okay, fine. See, Christianity is like that. I don't like all these testimonies that brethren, when I first met my husband, didn't have anything. Now he has everything. He doesn't have to have everything for you to have been right. Because we've gotten fixated with this idea that eventually, no! People can live the next 50 years in that rural area. Your name is Pa Elton. There's no testimony. Oh. You know, poverty is a problem. And I don't mean poverty of money, poverty of mind. That man and I were discussing yesterday, I said, poverty can make people, you know, they'll be saying things. They think that they have been enlightened. But in your mind, okay, oh boy, poverty don't wound this guy. It don't wound his hypothalamus, his amygdala, his hippocampal gyrus, frontal lobe, all parts of his brain. You know how you know that poverty has wounded? When they see gold ring, their body will shake. When they see GLE, Mercedes-Benz, they will tremble. When somebody says, please, I'm going to Lagos, I'll be back tomorrow. Ah, you'll be back tomorrow. Ah, you go say, no, I'll take the flight in the evening. Just excited about little things. Poverty has so wounded us that every decision made for the Lord must end with a testimony of material things. Is poverty wounding? Praise God, those days, when I first married my husband, we were staying in one small room. We thank God. Now, do you know, last week, we just dedicated our third mansion. You know, kinikon. Young girls, don't worry. Worry! Not every poor man you marry, we end up dedicating 3 duplexes. 3 mansions. No! Marry somebody who together you can beat your chest at the end of your life that will serve the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, unconsciously, I'm sure, I didn't know too. I participated in it maybe because without realizing it. Some of these testimonies, you use them to explain a point. For example, I can testify for you now that look at the way Joseph's life ended. It was in the palace. But you see, people now take it how to end in a palace. But what I was preaching, brethren, is don't worry, do the will of God. Because Moses did that same will. You know where he ended. He ended up in the wilderness. And at the end of his life, God even said, oh yeah, you have given your life for these people. Now you lie down here and die. In summary, he gave his life. If you know how to read scriptures and understand spiritual things, those guys wore him out. When God took Moses, it was because Moses was worn out. It wasn't anger, really. It looked like anger when you look at the scripture. But the truth is that Moses' spiritual energy was down and out. God said, yeah, Moses, enter into your rest. For those who tell you that there's no, after you die like that, you stay dead until resurrection, is a lie. God, that same Moses, he came and visited Jesus Christ one time. Do you remember? Where I'm just going with this whole thing, all right, is that the life of Moses could not have been used to describe what we're trying to describe now. But the life of Joseph could, materially. But both of them did the will of God. So sometimes, when we tell those stories, people think that what you are saying is that, don't worry, young woman, don't worry, marry your husband. When I first met him, we tell the stories all the time. I tell the story about my wife when she first met me. I wore only white shirts, all of them which I bought used. None of them was bought brand new. Where will you get brand new? Don't you know brand new cost brand new money? I wore only white, not because I loved white. I was not in Celestial Church of Christ. I wasn't in, see. If you see us pastors wearing white all the time, it is to make it easy to choose clothes when you are coming to church. All those pastors, they are always changing color every time. They try. So what did I do? I wore only white. I couldn't afford plenty. That's why. Not a big deal. It happened to all of us. I proposed to her with a 300 naira ring. I know these days it's more than 300 naira, maybe, but it's still a cheap ring. It's still cheap till today. If somebody comes to say, marry me, the ring is 3,000, you know it doesn't have more than 3,000. And when I said to replace the ring, I'm thinking about it now. I was even telling her, something made me joke about it. It was this morning. I said, one day was her birthday. In today's naira, the rings I bought for her for that birthday in today's naira is 900,000 naira. Birthday, just take, wear. Two of them. Each one almost half a million in today's naira. So I know, it happens. Do you follow my point? But brethren, if I never bought that ring, it doesn't mean anything. At least I'll be able to beat her chest that I married this man because I married him now. Look at the thousands of messages that have been released. These are the words that have hanging. See, my current job now, I'm going to basics, all right? We record now. Foundational materials, short. So that any Christian, I told them they will be up to 200. So that any Christian that listens to them, or at least we know the basics of his Christianity, that's the job I have to do. You have to know what to take pride in. They asked the Lord Jesus, what is it? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Our one is that my meat is to invest when you are still poor, and then one day you become rich on this earth. See, your existence is not 100 years long. Even if you live 100 years on this life, in this life, it's the beginning of something. So plan for eternity. That's what I'm saying. You are 20-something, you are 30 years old. They say, if you marry a man, one day. Hey, listen, bro. Even if what they are saying to you comes to pass in 20 years' time, you will enjoy your life for how many years? Okay, 30. Then you will now step into an eternity which we don't know how to count. They don't count there. Derek Prince, one of the men you know I quote the most, he married his... The own marriage itself is the oddest, very odd. You know this, you know what they call odd? See, he was an influential man at home. He was a Cambridge lecturer. All right? A university lecturer. He came from an aristocratic background. Are you getting my point? Then he was, I think, 20-something or 30 at most. Or 30-something, I'm not very sure now. Okay? Then he, one day, he got to know the Lord. As well, after during the Second World War, when he was drafted into the army, everyone in his family thought he was crazy. You know why? Everybody in his family, his father, his uncles, they were all commissioned officers in the British Army. All of them were officers in the British Army. He was one that refused that he wouldn't go that way. He wanted to go and do philosophy in the university. He joined the army. They recruited him as a private. You don't get the point. all your cousins, your uncles, your own father, they are colonels, you know, generals, and all of that. You enter that same army, you are a private, because you wouldn't agree to join as a normal person. Along the line, he met the Lord. Let's make a long story short. He began, go and read his story, discipled in the desert. He began to grow as a Christian. He met somebody, said, okay, there's a particular woman that encourages young Christians. So he began to visit her place like everybody else. And because she was alone, she had a lot of girls that she had adopted, running a home for orphan girls. So they all used to help her, young soldiers. Until the word of the Lord came to him one day, marry her. And she was 25 years older than him. No, that, see, it was a revelation, vision, voice, everything. I've joined you under the same yoke and under the same harness. The woman had young girls in the house, you understand? So what did they think? When they kept on seeing him around, they thought he wanted to marry the oldest girl there. That girl became his adopted daughter. And listen to this. The same spirit came to him one day to let him know he had a choice when he finished his service to go back home. And let me summarize it. And miss the destiny that he planned, that God planned for him. Or stay. He and this wife he has married now. In that place. I don't know whether before he married her or after. I'm not very sure of that. He could go back home, return to his university work. They will promote him. He'll become professor. He'll be 60-something. He'll retire. Then, now listen to this. There are many who have done that and you never heard of. There are many who have chosen that path. You never heard of them. You don't know about them. Many chose that path. We don't know about them today. Or the Lord said, this is the point. He had only one opportunity. Or you follow me, listen to this, into an uncertain future, humanly speaking now. He chose to follow the Lord. Let me just say, brethren, follow the Lord. Tell your neighbor, follow the Lord. See, I don't know where he's taking you to, but follow him. Yeah, it's safer than any other thing. Don't determine where we'll take you to, because now we all have testimonies of, at that time, look at it now. Oh boy, there's nothing to look at now. That man, he married that woman. I've told you the kind of couple they were. He didn't go back to his aristocratic background. He had to be kind of, God just opens doors. They ran away from where they were because of war. Then he now uses British influence, passport, carried his wife, the children, back to England. They went back to Britain. They didn't even have a house where they could stay. They had to separate all the children to different homes. Then one day, opportunity opened, he went to Canada. Things didn't work out. Another opportunity opened, he went to Kenya. But he just had one thing in mind. God told him, I've made you a teacher of the word. He was supposed to teach. He gave some number of adjectives in simplicity, in this and that, for many. And God told him, it should be a spring. The spring will become a stream. The stream will become a river. The river will become, a mighty river. Then it will become a sea. It will become an ocean. Exactly what happened. What was a mighty river? His teachings. His instructions. Till today, they have the Red Prince Legacy Radio. His messages are everywhere. I'm sure the man is blessing more lives now than when he was alive. And of course, he said when his wife finally died, all right? Of course, she was old. By the time he was in his 60s, the woman was in her 80s. But she died in the most beautiful home. But listen, let me go. That beautiful home, she lived in it for just a few years. This woman, from the time she was small, a young woman, let's use the word struggled. Let's just use the word struggle. That's not the ideal word, but in the way we talk about financial issues here. For over 50 years. When they finally settled in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, she had worked in Ramallah, today's Palestine. She had lived in parts of Israel, struggled as the nation was being built. She lived rough, if I use the word, back in England. She's Norwegian. I think, yeah. I think she was Norwegian. Lived in Africa. Adopted an African child when they were leaving. They moved to Canada, from Canada to the U.S. And then God now opened doors. He settled down, was now doing his teachings. He will tell you that full gospel opened a lot of doors for him. Because he was a man that believed in the things of the Spirit and he was operating them and he could teach systematically. So he was going around teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. The wife died somewhere along the line. Where I'm going is that, what are we bragging about? Is it what we achieved on this earth? Say, don't worry. If you are talking, telling a young lady, don't worry, things will be better, as in, you become rich, you will not dash you a GLE, a GL for your this thing, and then this thing. Okay, if I'm the one counseling you, worry. Worry. No such guarantee. God offers no such guarantees. I'm not saying you can't have it. If you want it, you know what you will do? Ask for it. See, if you follow the law conscientiously, he will do one or two things for you. Either he will give it to you, or he will prove to you, so that one day you will tell him, don't bother about it. And see, there is this thing that's inside, or it is there. Now, this is, I'm getting to know it more. That people are pursuing, it's manifested. We use the word satisfaction to describe it, but it's more than satisfaction. There is this, we use the word contentment, but it's more than contentment. But there is this thing that everybody's looking for in life, in everything. See, the kind of thing that you find, you understand? You will eat, you will soak a bowl of gari with groundnut. And it will be, listen to this, it will be tastier, more satisfying than a 7-course meal in a Chinese restaurant. Yes, it exists. See, God will give it to you. You will be happier in the back of a keke than a man being flown on a private jet. Now, when people don't have it, they will kill to get a private jet. When people don't have it, they will sell their soul to buy the private yacht. When people don't have it, and you know what? When they get into the jet, it's not there. The first few days, they will have a feeling towards it. Before it hits it, one day the pilot is about to take off. And they will say, what is this? It is vanity. Vanity upon vanities. All is vanity. I've been chasing after the wind. They will look, what have I spent my life for? Then somebody will say, how much is your plane? $50 million. That's the problem now. Your mates are on boats. We'll tell you, Sheikh, what's his name? Sheikh, is it Maktoum al-Rashid? The ruler of Dubai. His boat, Litra, is worth $500 million. Upkeep in a year is something between $30 and $50 million. That's the kind of thing you need. Then you pursue it. One day you buy one, maybe it's not $500, it's just $100 million. With all the outfittings and everything, you take it on your cruise. One of your co-workers will fall into the ocean and die there. They will bring the corpse, rescue the body, extract the body, put it on your flight, on your deck, on the boat. You will look. What is it? The boat is not even going where you are going, sir. It's not a boat. You can't come to Enugu. Can you reach Oka? Meanwhile, your village is just off the express in Oka. So you are forced to always be ending your life in Lekki because you are in a boat. You can't even go to Abuja. Then they say, no, it's no longer the boat. So have you ever been to the edge of space? Yes, there are flights to the edge of space. Blue Origin goes there. What's the name of Tesla's company? Elon Musk. SpaceX. SpaceX goes there. That thing we're talking about, that thing, it's a real thing. People are chasing after it, but they don't know how. Tell your neighbor, follow the Lord. See, continue the preaching. No matter how risky it seems, it's better. No, people want to sit down and describe your life that didn't go, and then they are comparing you to... Please, don't let people compare your life for you. They don't know how to compare. I don't know whether I get my point. They, what do they compare? Money. What do they compare? Material thing. What do they compare? Physical influence. What do they compare? They can't enter anybody's soul to do the real comparison. Let me tell you, Jesus has told us now, it is better to die as a man with sores at a rich man's door. If you know the Lord and you are walking his will, than to be inside the rich man's house, feasting on the finest food and finest wine, the finest ambience, and not know the Lord. Because shortly after they were dead, one man, though poor, went to Abraham's bosom. The other, though very rich and was comforted in this life, went into Hades. People have said that, yes, you can be rich and enter into Abraham's bosom, which is true. Abraham, who owns the bosom, was not poor. Abi? Baba of the bosom, was he poor? However, when you say things like that, you miss the point. Do you get my point? You've missed the point. You have refused to stay on point, which means people who think like you are likely to miss Abraham's bosom. What that lesson just tells you is that there are things better to pursue in this life. And let me tell you something. If you enjoy. Let's see, just think about it too. Assuming I take you now, I feed you very well. I take good care of you. You have everything you want. I drive you around everything for the last one day. In the morning, you went to one of these Tush hotels, buffet breakfast. In the evening, we returned for buffet dinner. All right. In between, I gave everything you wanted. Then I drove you around town in one beautiful limo. Then we quickly rushed to Abuja in a private jet and came back. All right. Everything was 24 hours. Right. Then after that, I drop you on the street. Half naked, no food, hardly getting anything to eat for the next 25 years. After 1 week of being on the street, will you remember that one day? When it's raining, for information, you are at one of these bus stops. So you know what that means? Once breeze blow like this, wetness is also your portion. Then during the day, heat. Now, please, let me just beg you. No, simple question. If I now come to you next week and say, okay, after 1 month, I say, see, you will enjoy for 1 day, then you suffer like this for 1 month. You go agree? Whatever your life is right now, wouldn't you prefer it to that 1 day's enjoyment? See, that is how it is when we are discussing material satisfaction in the light of eternity. I don't know where you're getting my point. Listen, there's a song we used to sing. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. That is his literal. People like this, I have decided to... Look, tell guys, Baba, sing the second stanza. Because you decide to follow Jesus, that you think you are going to carry everything with you. Jesus strips. Let's understand what Christianity is. The Bible says there were men who wandered about in sheep clothing, poorly fed. And you know what he said about them? This world was not worthy to have them. Why do you keep on ending our testimony and say, at the end of the day, no. There is a satisfaction God gives you. The Philippians will send you millions of dollars and everything. And the money comes, you say, okay, I got it too. But I'm not better now than I was before it came. Why? Because God has given me something inside me so strong it is that I can't feel the pains outside. You don't want to miss the plan of God for your life. I've told you, stop sowing seed. There's nobody's reward that's on this earth. What we are doing on this earth is being equipped more and more every day for better service to the Lord. You hear what I said? What we're experiencing every day is we are being equipped more and more for better service to the Lord. Please, let's get that clear. The Lord is good. I was saying, let me tell you that to the beginning. I'll get back to the beginning. There's a reason why. I was saying that, you see, God speaks a word. It describes your life. But you have to tell yourself, I want my life to conform to that which was spoken. Because it's possible for you to refuse your life being conformed to that which was spoken. Listen to me. I was telling them yesterday. So there was somebody, I saw somebody on somebody's status. He showed two roads. One is broad, many people there. The other one, not many people there. We normally interpret that as broad way that leads to destruction and the narrow one that leads to life. Which is true. But the way the person painted the picture, above the one that's broad, that has many people, you know what was written there? I believe in God. Then the other one that's narrow, people there, you know what's printed there? I follow the Lord. Many people claim to believe in God. But how many are really following the Lord? That's the question. Let me say it again. To believe does not mean to agree. To believe means to be committed to, totally, in such a manner that is obvious in your life, that you fear somebody, you live for somebody, and you know, like I said last time, for you to be a doer of the word, you are aware that one day you are going to give account for this in your life. That's what it means to believe. Not just go to church. Not just to pay tithes and give offerings and have your name on the register. That's not what it means. It means every part of your life is conforming to His will. What God wants, we read these scriptures, introductory scriptures from that book of Luke chapter 24. Just like the Lord Jesus was able to show the things about Himself in the law, the prophets, and the writings. In the same manner, your desire should be all that God wrote concerning your life. It should one day be manifested. Now, you know, I went to all of the time to talk about fine, you remember, that's why I went to this. Fine details of life. The fine details of life, God wrote them. But they are not easily obvious. So what God does for us is this. He will work out the fine details of your life. He will do that. But you have to use the general precepts of the word to locate yourself where it's like to yield yourself for Him to guide. You know, many years ago, a senior sister asked me a question. I wasn't married that time. For certain reasons, by her vision, she had a vision and stuff. Later on, it confirmed, now that's not why I did what I did, but in fact, this was even after that I realized that. It confirmed the Lord gave her a revelation of the kind of woman I was going to marry, all right? Because she said she saw a picture. There's a lady she saw with me earlier, you understand? So she asked after her. I said, who? That one? I said, no, I beg. No, nothing. Just, there's nothing. He said, okay, yeah, I thought so. Why did you think so? He said, because one day she was sleeping, she kind of woke up and she had a prophetic gift and saw me with a lady I came to visit. And it didn't look like that lady she saw. And she described her complexion. I said, okay, well, her own was that, oh, you're very correct. I said, no, there's nothing there. It's okay. Just wanted to. She was happy, you know, that she was kind of satisfied. So discussion has started about what the kind of wife you would like to marry, what this and that and that. When I ended with something, I said to her, by that time I read my scriptures, I said, I can't marry the wrong woman. I said, I know what will happen. If I try, the Lord will say no. That if He has to stop me from going for the wedding, that is, families have met, they have agreed. But God says, you won't go for that marriage, for that wedding. I said, he will do it. I said, so I'm not really worried. I was not worried about what are the keys to know the right woman. I knew I will marry the right woman. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I will find out who the right woman is after the wedding. Until that time, I will know somebody I like. Are you right or you are wrong? We will discover after. Because it will not happen that we'll go through a ceremony and you're not right. I described it to this senior sister. And she laughed. She now said something which, unfortunately, till today, I can't remember the scripture she quoted. She said, I hope you know that is not for everybody. So what do you mean? She said, she now quoted one scripture by Jacob and said, it is only for those who have made certain commitments in their lives. Now, let me paraphrase it the way I understand it. I understood it, which I still understand it today. That is a way you will have made commitments with your life, giving the Lord right to do these things, that many people have not given him the right to do them. That what you are saying to me is that you have made such and such commitments, giving the Lord right to do whatever he has to do to locate in the center of the will. I said, yes, I have done that. And that's what I'm trying to say. See, you can't work out the fine. This life is full of traps. I've told you, when Solomon talks about the woman, he wasn't talking about physical woman. He's a spiritual woman. I'm not talking about your banjo spiritual or mami water. What I mean, that business is a woman. Ministry is a woman. I said there's a woman whose hand is snares. Please, I want to just quote it correctly. Quickly, rush there for me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 26. It said, I discovered more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares. This woman is not a literal woman. All right? It's not just a physical, adult female. It's life. It's a spirit in life. Whose heart is snares and nets. Whose hands are chains. He said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured. It is not how you know how to handle it as the issue. It's, are you pleasing to God or you are not? If you are pleasing to him, you will escape. Was this woman a bad business investment? Do you understand? But what does he say? Her heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. Life is full of traps. You can get caught. See, the most wonderful, if you have to judge by yourself who's a good husband, who's a good wife, the most wonderful ones of them, physically judging, are the most dangerous. You wouldn't know. How will you know? He says, sir, when I met him, he was always coming to church. The pastor trusted him so much. In fact, there was a time he was the one holding the keys to church vault and this and that and that. Prayer, he was the first person. So you are shocked one day to find out that this man has 3 children outside. Why married to you? And the day you confronted him with it, he beat you so badly. It was 3 days later, 1 day per child, for you to wake up in hospital. And you discover that he has lived a life of some people are, maybe, go and watch mafia movies. You see the top tier, not the big, big dons, but a lot of the people on the next rung, all right? They train them in deception. Some guys have come to church like that. Ladies have come to church like that. Solomon says, see, he said the sinner will be captured. But the one that fears God will do what? Will escape. So it's not their plan that works out. It's an escape that will happen. Business ideas. Somebody will come who you trust with all your heart, give you the best business thing, and will ruin you completely. You go back. There was nothing you did wrong, but you are ruined. It's called snares, traps. But the one who is pleasing to God will do what? Will escape. Let's go back to that doctrine that sister told me. It is the way you locate your life with the Lord. Then he starts writing the fine details. So you make up your mind that every detail God has spoken about me must come to pass. Please, I'm watching my time. Let me rush. I just mentioned a few things and I close with it. I wanted to teach them in details, but I don't have time now. These are things you do so that one day, every detail that God has spoken about your life will come to pass. I write books. I teach the Bible, release a lot of messages. You know what I have noticed? What I've discovered from studying over the years? There's no book I will write that God did not write first. I can't put down my ideas. It's forbidden. Now, I don't mean that, hey, God, though, I will not decide. No. As I just go there to write, just freely, Holy Spirit will take over. And the one I did not write, he will throw it away. You know, this man says something, David Paulson. You know, he wrote a book. And David Paulson didn't grow up with the tech things. He writes. He used to write by hand. So he wrote pages and pages and pages. When I first wrote this book, Choices Key to Destiny, was plain paper I wrote by hand. Okay? That's what the person did all the days of his life. So one day he wrote a book. He was traveling. He was still working on it, about to finish the manuscript. Then he went with the briefcase to Italy. It was raining when they arrived. So somebody told him, rush into the vehicle, we'll take care of the luggage. So he entered the vehicle. And the man thought he had only one bag. I took the person's bag and put it in the boot. And they drove up for like 40 minutes to another hotel. They got there. They brought the bag down. Said, where's my small briefcase? The man was looking like, briefcase? I thought this was just the only bag you had. He said, no, I had a second one, a briefcase, contained my that whole book he wrote by hand. It was raining. Now, Italy, in fact, London is terrible, self. Everywhere is bad. But those Italy has always had a lot of criminals. So they went to the police later to go and report missing item, whether they saw it. They said, you left a briefcase roadside in Italy, and you are looking for it. You know, like, why would you be looking for it? 40 minutes from the airport, long drive to the hotel, another town, actually. So he told them, okay, forget it. So he went and prayed. And told the Lord, I can't write that book again. If you want me to publish the book, you have to bring it back. If not, I take it that you don't want me to publish the book. So leave it and just forget about it. The police did not look for the briefcase. A man knocked, opened the door of the hotel, dropped the briefcase on the counter, and told them it's for one of their guests. Turned around, walked out. They don't know who it is. The man told the Lord, see, if you want me to publish the book, bring it back. Kenneth Hagin told the story of how he wrote a book. At the time, there's a move on the spirit in the air, on the things of the spirit. I think Gordon Little, another preacher somewhere else, without any discussion, wrote the same book. They looked at each other's book, manuscript. It was almost word for word. What does that tell you? The Spirit was dictating the words. So I told the Lord, every book I'm supposed to write, I know you've written it, I must write it. Every message I'm supposed to preach, I know you have preached it, I must utter them on this earth. See, it's an attitude. When you have that in mind, then the Holy Spirit can start doing what he planned to do. But if you think man must make a way for himself and the woman must do, you will run up and down and you will end this life frustrated. I know what I'm telling you. The opposite of that thing will set inside you. You look back and say, I've lived my life for nothing and for vanity. Brethren, pursue this thing. There's not, see, go. Let me just rush through this, okay? Quickly. I'll list a number of things. If God gives me the opportunity, I'll teach more about them another time. But let's just get this out of my heart onto people's ears. Number one, if you are going to do that, like I said, have God play out all his words in your life. Number one, get your doctrines right. Every time, pursue to know what is true. Please, I don't have time to explain that now. Make sure you get your doctrines right. Just simple things like knowing, just I've been saying now, that I'm a single man, God has ordained my wife. Just know it. I'm not the one that will find who I'm looking for. Like the Bible says concerning the lion, I will find the food that he has provided. I will find the wife. You know, remember what the servant of Abraham said concerning the wife of Isaac. He said, Lord, this is how I will know you have shown kindness to my master. Let it be this and this and that, that will be the one that you have chosen. Not a good wife. Let's pray she'll be good. I'm not saying she'll not be good. But the emphasis he had was what? The one that you have chosen. Just knowing that God has a choice. Not only a wife for Isaac, a wife for you, a husband for you, a job for you, children for you, money for you, city of residence for you, whatever it is, God has chosen something for you. Sound doctrine. Number two, recognize, still on number one, getting your doctrines right. Know you have gifts you must account for. You have a calling that you must fulfill. No, there's one day, just having the right doctrine in heart, that's the foundational thing. Know that one day you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you are going to give account for every day of your life. Let nobody come and deceive you, that doesn't matter. God will ask you to give account for your life. Brethren, he gives you children, he will ask you how you handle them. Because life demands you make sacrifices. Life demands you make sacrifices. See, there are businesses you will stop because you want to raise children. There are things you will stop doing because you want to do ministry. Many things in this life, you have to show God what you are willing to sacrifice for them so that you can be faithful in what you are doing. But listen, what I'm just explaining, that get it into your head, into your heart, solidly. You must give account for your life. Right doctrines. Number two, deliberately learn, focus on, learn the precepts of God to live your life by. Please, learn the precepts of God to live your life by. Everything you are doing in life has precepts. You are getting married, go and learn what God says. You are doing a business, what did God say? I don't have time to go over them, we can't teach them now, but just know that there is something you must be deliberate about learning. How did God say? What does the word of God have to say about how I will run this, my life? The Bible has precepts about them. David had to learn. If you are going to be a king, you shall not touch the Lord's anointed. He had to learn. He had to learn. God gave him opportunities, tested him. Did you learn what Samuel said to you? He said, yes, I did. He let Saul go twice, even though his own life was in danger. He was more content with running. When you are doing business, there are times you'll be more content with losing money than doing some things. Do you get my point? Please. I don't have time to go into details about that. Number three, always interpret and respond to every occurrence in your life with the word of God. By faith, we understand. I have teachings on that. I don't know which one to recommend now, but just know that when things happen to you, give God the glory. The Lord will lead you about, and by faith you say, there's no foreign God with me. God is not leading you about with witches. Your tire went down. Don't ascribe it to a witch. Don't be silly. Always interpret and respond to things in your life by the word of God. Number four, I'm going to give you, have expectations. Have expectations. You want the word of God fulfilled in your life? Have expectations that are built on God's word. They tell you when you are old, you become weak, your eyes will grow dim. Say no in the name of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do anything about it. Just expect it. That even though I'm 120 years old, like Moses, my strength will not abate. My eyes will not grow dim. Just have expectations. They tell you that in the country you are living, what will happen to your children? Say, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. Just have expectations. It doesn't mean you have to do anything. Don't look at your children with pity. Hey, if only Dangote was your father. Who was Dangote's father? Who was Dangote's grandfather? My seed will be mighty on thee. That's what matters. Isaac said concerning Jacob, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. What are you talking about? Have expectation. Give your children names that show that you expect God to do something in their lives. Say, this I will let the house of children Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Get on your knees and say, Father God, increase my children like a flock. Bless them on every side. Have expectation. When you are getting older, you like to have the decision, I will not have it. Why? It's the portion of the righteous. They will be old and full of sap. Have expectation. Just expect it. You fall sick, expect to get well. No matter how bad things are, expect that they will get better. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Have expectations. Concerning Nigeria, I see all the problems now because America threatened to come in with guns are blazing. They started kidnapping. When demons want to go out, they cause problems. That's why I choose to interpret it. I thought about it and I pronounced it. I have this expectation of peace across the land. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of banditry, of insurgency, every spirit of farmer headmen, clashes, everything, we go away in the name of Jesus. Why will it be like that? Because we are on this earth. The salt is on this earth. We'll keep on purifying our saltiness. And this earth must respond. I have expectations. I already said this. But let me just emphasize the fifth one. Every expectation you have from the word of God, you know what God says? Pray about them. If things are not going the way you expect them to go, what do? You pray about them. What did Daniel do? For 70 years. We are still in captivity. So he went and prayed. The church was threatened. Peter said, that's not what the Lord said. They went and prayed. When you have expectations, it's not happening the way the Bible says, the word of God says will happen, turn into a prayer point. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you give it as a prayer point? Because the will of God is not done automatically. That expectation, you come to the place of prayer and say, Father, this is what you have said. Do it in my life. Your children are not doing well in school. Write scriptures on their head. While they are sleeping, put a hand on their head and pray. Mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. And last of all, let me just add this one and we'll close. You must have the attitude of thanksgiving all the time. Be grateful. A lot of people do the complaining thing because they don't know what God has done for them. I'm not rich, but I'm not dead. Do you get my point? Only the people that are alive can have expectations. The fact that you have life to expect God to do something for you, be full of gratitude. People who complain, it's not because they are poor. I hope you understand that. One of the greatest complainers I know in this life, they are some of the, averagely, they will be the top 0.1% of Nigeria in comfort, but they can't complain. The attitude of gratitude must be with you all the time. Well, let's bow down our heads. I've taken a lot of time today, but I'm happy I've gotten these things out. I hope you were blessed by them. Just thank the Lord.